Christmas is all about Emmanuel, God with us. And we want to thank you for the reality of your word, Father. You said this morning, where two or three people gather together, I will be there. We thank you, Father, for the message that we heard, the message in tongues and the interpretation in tongues that lets us know we're not alone. You know what we're going through. And so, Father, we welcome you, Spirit of the living God, to come into the very heart of where each individual is right now. I want to thank you, Father, that even though you are the one who is omniscient, that's one of your attributes. It means that you know everything because you are God. Even though you are the one who is omnipotent, that's another of your attributes. It means that you're all-powerful. Even though you are the one who is omnipresent, and that means there's nowhere that you are not. Heavenly Father, we approach then boldly the throne of grace this morning. And I want everybody that's here that was speaking to a mountain now to hear the words of Jesus. This is what he says to you today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me. For the yoke that I give is easy, and the burden that I bear is give you to bear is light. So, Father, we just right now thank you for the broad shoulders of God. We thank you for the broad shoulders of Jesus. And right now we cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And Lord, there is absolutely nothing that you can't do. And so I come into agreement today with every heart in this household, with every prayer request that's being lifted. And this is what I would say. May your kingdom come and may your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. We agree together with the people of God for the purposes of God and the presence of God to be revealed for the greater glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Father, we want to thank you that you are the comforter to those who are bereaved, and I pray for the Sandrowski family today that you'll continue to be with them. I want to pray particularly for the Mueller family and Agatha Mueller and her family who this past week, Anita, went home to be with the Lord Jesus. 52 years of age, Jesus, you called her home. So we pray for the Mueller family this Thursday at noon as friends and family gather that the comfort of God would be with them and the promise of God would be revealed to those who come. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for being able to just stand freely in this place and worship Jesus. And we ask, oh God, that you would be pleased with everything that takes place, not only in this house, but in our lives, where we pray it for the glory of Jesus. And the church said together, amen. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Well, I just want you to know that if you're with us as a guest, we welcome you, and that we're going to be receiving the Lord's tithe and offerings. And I want to say that's something we do as a church family. So if you're our guest, I don't want you to feel pressured to give anything. But I want to remind you, church family, and at the same time, thank you. I want to thank you for being so faithful. And the truth is this. During the Christmas season, the world marketing machine is in full gear. It's telling you, you need this new thing and that new thing. You need this new toy and that new toy. And if you listen to the advertisers, this is what they're going to tell you. You can buy it now, and you don't have to pay for it until 12 months from now. But I want to tell you something. All of those things that the world's pushing upon us, we need to ask ourselves as believers, do we really need that? Do I need that new toy? Do I need that new thing? And I want to thank you for, at the end of every calendar year, just taking note in our church bulletin where we are, in our general giving and our goal. I want to thank you for supporting the church in your tithes. And if you can help us in these last few weeks, we would so appreciate that. We've made so many additions to our building to keep it in good order and to proclaim the gospel. I want you to know that even the lighting that we've done at the front of the building and the cross, that's called people into the church and into the kingdom of heaven already. If you've already been for our presentation of Noel, you've seen we have our cameras now. They're here, but they're not totally installed. But we're actually using them in the musical this afternoon, and so you'll see how that's going to benefit us. And again, just make the declaration of the gospel more clear, and we'll be using that in the days ahead on the web page as well, which we've been updating. So I just need to thank you as a church in these last days of the calendar year for being faithful to just to set aside whatever you can do to help us, both in general fund and in missions in our offerings. I want to remind you of a scripture in 2 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul said this, "Don't let anybody pressure you to give. Don't feel pressured from any person, but in your heart, set aside what the Lord is telling you what to do. And then he says this, because God loves a cheerful, would everybody please say cheerful? God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I've got some news for you, though. He also accepts from a grouch. And like sometimes if you hear, oh, man, do we have to talk about money? Well, the reality is Jesus spoke about money. And if you get grouchy hearing about that, like I've said, if you're our guest, there's no pressure. This is church family stuff we're talking about. This is the heart of the Father we're talking about. Here's what's happened, and I've had to do this. There were times in my early Christian experience when I thought, man, I don't even know if I can tithe. Then I learned how to tithe, and then I heard missions offerings and offerings. I think, man, I'm tithing, but do I? And when you give as a grouch, something happens to your heart. It's like the Grinch whose heart was two sizes too small. Remember, his heart started to change. And when you give as a grouch, you know what happens? You get less grouchy. And in fact, when you keep giving as unto the Lord, you get less and less grouchy, and you start to get happy. And God said he loves a cheerful giver. And if you want to be one of those, would you say amen? Amen. So whether you're grouchy or whether you're cheerful, if you want that, you got to give as unto the Lord today. Not because there's a need, but because God has blessed you. And I'm so thankful that we live in a nation like Canada where even our government recognizes giving to the Lord. And at the year end, as you look upon how God has blessed you over these years, whatever you can do to help us in the general fund and missions would be so greatly appreciated. I'm going to ask our Secretary of the Church Board to come, Eugene, and let's welcome him as he comes, and he has an announcement for the congregation.
I like the word grouch, Pastor Doug. It's G-R, ouch. Praise the Lord. The house of God is full of saints. How are you this morning, saints? If I can have my cheat sheet here. I trust that the mighty covering of God's grace is upon each and every one of us here today. And first of all, please allow me to give thanks to our Almighty Father, who has done so many things in this church already. Do you believe that? And I do believe with faith, and he will continue to do so for his glory. Second of all, on behalf of the board, I would like to express my appreciation for our church leadership, our beloved pastors, for their faithfulness, dedication, and their hearts of service. As written in 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. Would everyone please say double honor? Can I hear it louder, please? Double honor. Thank you. Especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. I would like also to give honor to the church staff whose remarkable hard work and exceptional commitment. They are certainly worthy of mention. As it is written in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12-13, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Now, the world may say that we are in a season of giving, but to us whom the Lord Jesus has given so much, I dare say, every day is a season of giving, even in little ways or in big ways. Now, with that in regard, next week, can I hear everyone say, next week? Next week. And again, next week. Next week, we will be having a special offering to honor and appreciate our pastors and church staff for their hard work and dedication. So will that be all right, church? I hear one. Amen. Will that be all right, church? Amen. Amen. Thank you for your generosity. Awesome. At this time, I would like to call the ushering team to come forward. And as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithes today, for today, may God bless in each and every one of us. Can I pray with you? Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness to each and every one of us. Thank you for what you have done to this church and will continue to do so for your glory. Lord, as we are in this season of busyness, busy with our lives, our jobs, busy with everything else, buying gifts for our loved ones. This season, Lord God, may you remind us the true meaning of this season, that you have given us the ultimate sacrifice, the best gift, the gift of the grace of God, life everlasting through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we give today's tithes, Lord, bless the gift and the giver. And may the heart of generosity that was sown or planted in our hearts ever grow and flourish. For your glory, Father, we pray these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And everyone says, Amen.
Thank you so very much, team. The Lord bless you. Let's give our team a hand for their good leading this morning and for, I just need my Bible, Pastor Cal, thanks, for what they've done for us this weekend. Well, it has just been a great weekend so far, and we're going to continue on in our teaching series, our Advent series, Jesus is Mighty God. You can follow along in the bulletin insert that is in your bulletin. Let's read the text that we have from Isaiah out loud together, please. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I'd like to read a portion of text this morning out of Matthew, which really, I have to say, interrupted in the very best way some wedding plans. It's Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid. Would you please say those four words with me? Do not be afraid. And once again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, the angel said, to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him, would you say his name with me, please? Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look. The virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. You know, for those of us that are familiar with the Christmas story, and we've heard the Christmas story again and again, and maybe even as December the 25th comes, or December the 24th, depending when you gather as a family and celebrate the birth of Christ, maybe you have traditions such as our family do, as before everything starts, you take the Bible and you read Luke 2 and you read the story. But we're just so familiar with it. We just read it like we read it for the past 20, 30, 40 years. You know, when we think of this story, we have to step back, and we're talking about Jesus being revealed as mighty God today, which was prophesied by Isaiah some 700 years. And we need to understand that the story of Christ's coming, this is a hard story when you're planning a wedding. And I need to tell you the truth. There are some things that I wish were in the Bible that are not there. Wouldn't you have enjoyed it if the Bible recorded the conversation that Mary had with Joseph after the angel told her that she was pregnant? That was a tough conversation, and it didn't go well. But I'd like you to understand that as we look at the fact that Jesus is mighty God, I don't want you to hear these familiar words once again and just say, I've heard this before. But I want you to understand something, that he's mighty God in your life. If you believe that, say amen. And so as we speak about Jesus being mighty God, I'd like you to make personal application for wherever you are today and whatever God is calling you to do today. We know that Jesus is mighty God because, first of all, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Now, how many ladies are here, and you've had the privilege of conception and giving birth to a child? Can I see your hand? Do any of you forget that? But here's what I want you to understand. Faith, what God wants to do in our lives, is like conception. Faith is like a seed that comes into our hearts. And so while we hear that you know, you will conceive, and we apply that to Mary, I want you to understand as Christians that God drops things in your heart. There's something, you know, when God drops something in your heart, it's a seed, and he wants you to apply certain things to it. We know Jesus is mighty God because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, when God drops something into your heart, and now I want you to think about the things that God has dropped in your heart. Receiving God's plan requires faith in our hearts. Just to receive it, it first requires faith. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? How can I be pregnant? I'm a virgin. When God drops something in your heart, it may look impossible. When God drops something in your heart, it may be humanly undoable, and that's okay, because it's not a human thing, it's a God thing that he wants your cooperation with. But it requires, receiving God's plan requires faith in our hearts. So I'd like you, during this Christmas season and during this message about Jesus being mighty God in your life, to extend faith into that thing that God is placing in your heart. Once faith has been received, releasing God's plan requires faithfulness. Faith leads to faithfulness. Releasing God's plan requires faithfulness on our parts. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid. I already had you say it, but would you say it again? It's highlighted here. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Like I've said, I wish we would have seen that conversation. Joseph knew Mary. He knew what kind of a young, godly woman that she was. And yet, when Mary came and bore her soul to Joseph, I'm pregnant and God did it. Joseph said, not possible. Not possible. And yet he had this angel come to him in a dream. Do not be afraid. Listen, friends, sometimes the thing that God places in your heart looks impossible, looks impassable. But how many of you know that with God, nothing is impossible? So do not be afraid, the angel said. Christian, can I say to you this morning, don't be afraid? Because fear is the enemy of faith. Fear is that which kind of wants to put a cold blanket over what God wants to do both in and through your life. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and receiving God's plan requires faith. Releasing God's plan requires faithfulness. And responding to God's plan causes us to look to the Father. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the angel said to Mary, Gabriel, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Christian, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something that happened in your life when you received Christ? The Holy Spirit came upon you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You were born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and took up residence in your heart and life. Christian, can I tell you something else that happened the very moment that you received Christ? The power of the Most High is overshadowing your life every day. Every day, the power of God is at work in you, doing what God wants to will in and through your life, even as he did with Mary. So the baby to be born will be holy. Now, Christian, can I tell you what will happen in your life? When you realize that the Holy Spirit is in you and that the power of the Holy Spirit is working on your life, you will become holy. Everybody say holy. Circle that word. Holy means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for noble purposes. And even as Mary was set apart for the most noble purpose, to bear the Son of God, Christian, God has set you apart. He's set you apart for noble purposes. He's set you apart for good things. And responding to God's plan, being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, will cause you to look to your Father. Do you remember what the Lord's reply was when his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Just as John taught his disciples to pray, I think you do remember, and you could say it with me. Jesus said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and faith in your heart is a conception. We know that Jesus is mighty God because Jesus came to save us from condemnation, and only God can do that. And she will have a son, and you are to name him. Would you say his name with me again, please? Jesus. And again, Jesus. And again, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus in Greek is Jesus. In Hebrew is Yeshua. But the name Jesus means God is our salvation. The Lord is our salvation. He's the Savior of the world. Only God could do this. Only God could come and pay the price. Only God could make that acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the world. And it's amazing, the Christmas story, that God became flesh. That God took on humanity. And in the Christmas story, in the coming of Christ as a baby, Jesus shows us the fullness of the glory of God. So the Word became human, or the Word became flesh. And he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory. Thank you, Pastor Kyle. Give this man a hand. He's such a faithful guy. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus came to save us from condemnation because he is mighty God. And when we understand exactly who Christ is, and more than that, who our mighty God is, we understand that as human beings, we all stand guilty as charged in the face of God's glory, because all of us have sinned. It's true that when we compare ourselves kind of on the human level to people, both inside of the church and even outside of the church, you may look at some philanthropists, some people who are very wealthy and may not even have a relationship with Christ, and yet they're very generous. They do very good works. And when we compare ourselves to people, we may find a sense of goodness, and that's true. But when we have a vision of the mighty God, when we have a vision of who God is, we understand that everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard, Romans 3, 23 and 24. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. Would you please say righteous? Circle that word in your notes. It means to have right standing with God. You see, because of our first parents, Adam and Eve, we were separated from God. The sin that is in the heart of every human being, that sinful human nature, we were born into that reality. And we all fall short of God's glory. And God declares that we are righteous. The word means there to have right standing with God. So while we were broken and while we were in darkness and while the Bible says we were dead in our sin, that through Christ, God makes us alive. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, he imputes the righteousness. He puts the righteousness of Christ on our lives because of what he did on the cross. That's what it says. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. We all stand guilty as charged, even those that were very holy people. Isaiah was a very holy man, and in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah had a vision of the Lord, when he saw the mighty God, when he saw the presence of God's glory, he said, oh, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a sinful man, I'm a man with sinful lips, and I live amongst the people with sinful lips. When John, who was the closest to Jesus, had a picture of the glory of Jesus and the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, John says, when I turned around to see who was speaking and he beheld his glory, John says, I fell at his feet like a dead man. You see, we're all guilty as charged in the face of God's glory, and yet Jesus, our mighty God, came to save us from condemnation. And Christmas reminds us that Jesus shares with anyone the gift, would everybody please say gift, of the grace of God. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves right. We just simply need to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I understand in my heart of hearts that I need to be forgiven. I understand that I need to walk a new pathway. And Jesus gives anyone who will call upon his name the gift of the grace of God. God saved you by his grace when you believed. If you're here this morning and you can remember the time when you gave your life to Christ, I want you to think back to that moment. You remember that you had that sense of the forgiveness of sins, that sense of being accepted as a child of God. And the Bible says, look at what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that he calls us his very own children. You had that sense of being adopted. You had that sense of being brought out of darkness and being brought into the light. If you're here this morning and you haven't received Christ, you can do that today because he's alive. You can do that today just by receiving the gift of God's grace. And I love the Sunday school definition of God's grace. This is it. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not your expense. You don't need to pull up your bootstraps and try to be holier. No, you need to understand that the Holy One came and he died for you on the cross. And you just need to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Help me to live for you. And he'll give you a new heart and a new mind and a new will with which to serve the living God. If you believe that, would you say amen? We know that Jesus is mighty God because, thirdly, he came to restore communion with God. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, the meaning of that name, the prophet tells us, which means God is with us. This is why Jesus came. He came so he could have relationship with us. And Jesus Christ is not a religion. He is a living and vibrant and vital relationship. Emmanuel, God with us. This for Jesus. This bringing God back into the heart of humanity. This forgiveness for the sins of the whole world. This forgiveness for you was sought and bought at the very highest price when Jesus Christ completed the mission of the Father. He went to the cross and he was crucified for the sins of the world. And at the very end of his assignment, he gave up his spirit and he yelled out, "Tetelestai, it is finished. Father, I have completed the work." And the moment that Jesus said, "It is finished," something happened. You see, there was a curtain in the temple that separated man from God. And only the high priest, once a year, could go into the presence of God. But the moment that Jesus cried out, "It is finished," at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Something else happened. The rocks shook, the earth shook, and the rocks split apart. And the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. Can you imagine that? How many of you have loved ones that have gone on? Can you imagine if your husband, your father, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, dead for 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, maybe 100 years, dead? When Jesus said, "It is finished," there's this earthquake. The Roman soldier says, "Wow, this must be the Son of God." And then the tombs open, and bodies come out of the tomb. It's interesting, if you look in Matthew 27, it was the instant that Christ died that the bodies were resurrected in the cemetery. But it wasn't until 3 days later that Jesus was raised from the dead and the bodies went into Jerusalem. You know what I wonder? I mean, it's not, what did they do for 3 days? Like, who are you? Where did you come from? When did you die? I mean, did they order in? Like, did they do, what do they call that when meals come to the door? You order in at the cemetery for 3 days? I don't know. But 3 days later, when Christ was raised from the dead, can you imagine? Your grandma, your grandpa knocks on the door, knock, 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 and they've all got the same story. Jesus Christ raised me from the dead. You know what it was? It's a picture of what's going to happen. When the Lord comes again, the graves are going to be open and the bodies are going to be resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ completed the mission of the Father. Oh, he is the mighty God. He came to restore communion with us. And as he restored communion, no longer is God outside of us. No longer is it a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. No longer is it just the prophets that are speaking to us, but now it's the priesthood of everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Now, friends, the Comforter has come. And God's not around you, God's inside of you. God's living in you. He's living in you by the person and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's leading you and he's guiding you. Jesus said this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will even tell you about the future." Now, I was born in February. So according to some people, what do they call those things that are in the back of the newspaper? What are they called those? What are they called those? They're in the back of the newspaper, born a certain time. What do they call those things? That's right, horoscopes. They're called horoscopes, and let me tell you why. Yes, I was born in February, but I want to declare right now, I am not an Aquarius. I'm a Christian. And I want to tell you something. You don't need to go to the back pages of the newspaper to find out what's going to happen in your life, because God will tell you by the person and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll even tell you about the future. Now, I have to be honest with you. I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice. I've said this. I'm open to it, Lord. I've never seen an angel like we read. But God, I'm open to that. If you want to say, I'm open to it. But I'll tell you something else, friends. Every time I read the Word of God, God speaks to me. Every time I tuck the truths of God into my spirit and I order my life and my thoughts and my speech and my motivations after this book, God is speaking to me. And I'll tell you what I have learned. And Christian, I trust you've learned this as well. I've learned to discern the voice of the Lord. I can just be going about my business, my normal business every day, and I have a clear thought, and I realize it's the voice of the Lord. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I have to tell you the truth. God's even told me things about the future that have come to pass. And so I want you to know, friends, good news, Christian, you don't have to look into the horrible scope. The Comforter has come into your life. Are you here and you're reading the horoscope? It's time to come to Jesus. He's foolproof. You'll never be disappointed. The Comforter has come. And I'll tell you something else. You can now come boldly into the very presence of God whenever you want to, wherever you are. You can come into his presence at any time. It's not just for the high priest. Anybody can come. Therefore, friends, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And I love what we're going to get when we come there. When you come to the throne of God, you're going to receive his mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is something you don't deserve. And you're going to find grace to help you. You know what grace is? That's God working in you. That's God giving you your daily bread. You're going to find grace to help you when you need it the most. Jesus is mighty God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He saves us from condemnation. Only God can do that. He restores our communion with God. And because Jesus is the mighty God, he calls us to obey God's commands. This moment in Mary's life was very hard. She was going to get married. She had to go to Joseph. She had to say, Joseph, sit down. And I wish this conversation was in the Bible, but Mary, as God-fearing and good as she was, and Joseph knew her so well, when Mary told this unbelievable tale, I'm pregnant and God did it, Joseph thought it's impossible. And Joseph didn't want to hurt her or embarrass her, but he thought, I'm not going to marry her. She's been with another man. So he wasn't going to publicly disgrace her, but Joseph made the decision, I'm going to put her away quietly. Sometimes, friends, obeying God's commands isn't the easiest thing for us to do, but listen, it's always the best. Jesus calls us to obey God's commands. And Christian, can I tell you how you would and should always respond to Jesus, who is your mighty God? You should respond the same way that Mary responded. Would you read this with me? And would you make this your prayer, not only during this Christmas season, but to every day that God graces to you? Mary responded, let's say it together now, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Christian, this should be your response. I am the servant of the Lord. God, whatever it is that you've purposed for me, whatever it is that you've planned for me, whatever it is that you have for me, Lord, be it even hard, I want to press into that. God, I want to discover what is your good and your pleasing and your perfect will for my life, because I know that that is the best. If you believe that, would you say amen? Jesus calls us to obey God's commands. And in Jesus Christ, our mighty God, we are awakened spiritually. I like what it says. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. I have to tell you the truth. Sometimes, when I have someone come into my office, somebody who knows the Lord, and they begin to tell me about a decision that they're going to make, and they want me to kind of give them the pastoral blessing or put my stamp of approval on what they're about to do. Sometimes, do you know what I want to say? Wake up! I mean, I can't. I can't because I'm a pastor. But I want to say it. I want to say, wake up! When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. So what I do is I let them explain what they're thinking of doing. And I just listen, and I'm praying as I'm listening, and I kind of re-verbalize it back to them. And then I say, do you really think that that is the best thing that the Lord is calling you to do? And then I, as lovingly as I can, say, because I'm not sure that I do. Sometimes at that point, the conversation continues to go better and better, and we see the grace of God come, And other times at that point, the person walks out disappointed because the pastor wouldn't approve of what God's word says you should not do. But in Christ Jesus, listen, we are awakened spiritually. So if you're a child of God, can I say it to you in the most loving way possible? Wake up. We're living in a dark world. Wake up. We're living in perilous times. Wake up. We're living in times when people are calling wrong right and right wrong. Wake up. Let's be children of the day and let's be children of the light. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him, would you say his name again, please, with me? Jesus. You see, Jesus calls us to obey God's commands, and we are awakened spiritually. Also, in Jesus Christ, we are aligned with God's word. I love the mission of our congregation. We have a mission that's really based upon the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. It's on the front of your bulletin. If you know it, would you say it with me, please? This is our mission as a church here at Spa for Life. Loving God and leading people to the living Lord. Thank you. That's your mission. That's it. That's why we're having our musical at 3:30. And I know that Jen will be out at the table today, and I guess we need a few greeters for 3:30 and 7 for both. And so if you can be a greeter, if you're not bringing anybody with you at 3:30 and 7, Jen will be there just to receive your help, and thanks for doing that. And I just want to say to this congregation, thanks for everything you do. I mean, it is amazing to have people come into our building and to be able to say, you know what, people in our congregation have made homemade cookies. Does anybody like homemade cookies? And all those people go and they enjoy your homemade cookies. So can we give everybody that's helped us in any way for this weekend a hand? Thank you for baking and helping and serving and parking and the whole deal. And thanks for a few of you helping to greet tonight. But we are aligned with God's word. And God's word means loving God and then loving people. We know that we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. And loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not a burden. I know sometimes our human flesh wants to do something else. But listen, when we keep the commands of God, we'll never be disappointed. When we keep the commands of God, God will produce a harvest of righteousness through our lives when we line up with his word. Also, in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, we are made fully alive. That's what we want to be here. We want to be a spa for life. We want to be Southside Pentecostal Assembly for life because there is an enemy of the soul. Jesus put it this way in John 10:10. The thief, he comes with a purpose, and his purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. We're made fully alive in Christ Jesus. And how many of you ever heard that phrase, mother knows best? I mean, it's true. Mother normally does. I don't know. It's just something that God does give to mothers for their children. But the Virgin Mary reminds us that mother always knows best. This was actually at the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. And it was at a wedding, and a terrible thing happened. They ran out of wine, and so Mary had Jesus help this couple out who'd run out of wine. And she gathered the servants, and this is what she said to the servants. His mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. So Christian, for sure in this Christmas season, you know that swoosh Nike logo there? Would you just say those three words with me? Just do it. Like whatever Jesus is telling you, would you say that again, please? Just do it. If you've been wanting to call someone and invite them somewhere, would you just say it again, please? Just do it. If you were going to forgive somebody and include them in your circle of trust and love and hope again, would you just do it? Whatever he says to you, just do it. Just do it. And when you do it, do you know what's going to happen? People are going to say, wow, you saved the best till the very last. Let's pray, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today that Jesus Christ is mighty God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. Only God can do that. Jesus Christ is mighty God. He saves us from condemnation. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Listen, friend, if you're here this morning and you haven't said yes to Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about yes to attending church or yes to being religious. I'm talking about saying yes to Jesus. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for people like me who fall short. People like me who need a Savior. People like me who understand that Jesus came to give us life. If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, it's not so much the words that you speak, but it's the posture of your heart. If you just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me, help me to live for you, I promise you, based upon the word of God that says it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, and it's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you say, Jesus, would you please forgive me and be my Lord? He'll come into your life, you'll be born again, and your life will change for now and forever for eternity. He came to save us from condemnation. He's the mighty God. He came to restore communion with God. Only Jesus can do that. And friends, whatever you're going through, you can go right through that holy of holies. You can go into his presence at any time in the name of Jesus. And thank God, because he's mighty God, we want to obey his commands. Would you stand with me, please? Let's give him glory as we sing together. Oh, come, let us adore him. 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 Christ the Lord. We'll sing for he alone is worthy in just a moment. But if you're our guest today, hey, we'd love to see you at 3:30 and 7, but we'd love to meet you too in the Connection Cafe. Thanks, friends, for being here this morning. We're going to sing for he alone is worthy. Then I'm going to release you to just have a great Lord's Day and come back at 3:30 or 7 and be a part of what we're doing today. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. We thank you, God, that you are. Jesus is. Wonderful Counselor, Jesus is Mighty God. I pray now that the Lord will bless you and the Lord will keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you. The Lord will be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift his countenance up over you and give you his peace. I pray it in the strong name of Jesus. And the church said together, amen.